In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In the beginning of today's Gospel, we hear the account of how St. Matthew was called to follow the Lord. And the Gospel by St. Luke is written that our Lord Jesus Christ was walking past, and there was sitting Levi, which is St. Matthew. And he was in the tax office. So he was a tax collector. And we all know that tax collectors in those days were not very liked people, because they would collect the heavy taxes and the heavy burdens for Rome, and were often dishonest, so they would keep a portion for themselves. So they were not liked people, and they were looked down upon by the Jews. And our Lord Jesus Christ walks past this tax office and sees sitting in the tax office Matthew. And he says to Matthew two words: follow me. And then all of a sudden, Matthew leaves everything, leaves his money, leaves his table, leaves his job, gets up and follows the Lord. And I find that very, very bizarre, that you would leave everything in a second to follow someone who just said, follow me. And it wasn't the only situation. It happened a number of times in the Gospels. If you recall, when our Lord Jesus Christ called Peter and Andrew, what were they doing? They were fishing. They were going about, they were in their boat, they had their nets and they were fishing. Our Lord Jesus Christ walks past and says to them, follow me. And the Gospel says they left their nets, they left everything, they left their boats, and they followed. Another situation where our Lord Jesus Christ, a disciple, wanted to follow him, but he said, let me first bury my dead father. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, let the dead bury the dead, you follow me now. It happened a number of times that our Lord would just say those two words, follow me, and people would leave everything and follow him. And I've never understood it. Like, what did they see in Christ? What did they see in Christ to give them the confidence and the strength to leave everything and leave and follow? And to be honest, it's never made sense to me. Until I read something recently which says, it wasn't necessarily what they saw in Christ, it was what Christ saw in them. And I'll elaborate a little bit more. If we go back to the time of Jesus Christ and we look at what those words would have meant to somebody if they were to hear the words, follow me, from somebody like Jesus. Jesus grew up in the area of the Galilee, and in one of the Jewish books called the Mishnah, which is the oral tradition of the Jews, it describes the process that you would need to go through to become a rabbi, or to become a disciple of a rabbi. And what they would have to do is their education would start from the age of five. So at the age of five, they would start their education, and this phase of their education from the age of five to the age of 10 was called Beit Sefer. And in Beit Sefer, you know, Beit is like Beit in Arabic, so it's the house of the book. In Beit Sefer, they would learn the Torah, which is the first five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The five books of Moses, they would learn them. And most probably, they would learn them off by heart. So by the age of 10, they would know the first five books of Moses off by heart, and they would be able to recite them. And that would be finished at the age of 10. At that point, most kids would then stop their education and learn the family trade and start to work. But those who were really outstanding and who were the best at it would continue their education into the next phase of learning, which was called Beit Talmud. And Beit, house, and Talmud is learning. So Beit, house of learning. And from the age of 10 to the age of 15, they would learn the remainder of the Old Testament. So in the first phase, they learned the first five books. In the second phase, they would learn the remainder of the Old Testament. After that, most of them would drop out. And actually, this makes sense when you look at our Lord Jesus Christ when he was at the age of 12 and he was in the temple asking questions and teaching, and everyone was astounded. It would make sense that at this age he was in that phase of Beit Talmud, where he's learning the whole Old Testament scripture, and everybody was so impressed by him. So at the age of 15, that would pretty much be the end of your learning. You've learned the whole Old Testament, you learn all the scriptures, and then you would go and learn your family trade and start to work. But if you were the best of the best and you were completely outstanding, you would enter this final phase of learning, which is pretty much to become a disciple of a rabbi. So you finished your formal education, and now you would join yourself to a rabbi. And it would be very difficult to find a rabbi that would accept you. So when you would apply to a rabbi, you'd say to the rabbi, I'd like to become your disciple. The rabbi would start to test you. Do you cut it? Do you have what it takes? Do you know all the Old Testament scripture? What's your interpretation of the scripture? And each rabbi would start to test this disciple. And most common, the rabbi would say, you don't cut it, go back and do your trade. It was every rabbi had a set of interpretations, and that rabbi's set of interpretations was called that rabbi's yoke. And so the disciple would come to the rabbi and say, I want to be your disciple, I want to take your yoke upon me. And that's where the verse makes sense that our Lord Jesus Christ said, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for my souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If the rabbi thought this disciple was good enough, the rabbi would respond to him saying, follow me. So after all the education, after all the testing, if the rabbi thought this person could be my disciple, this person could pass on my teaching, could pass on my interpretation, this person could live like me, this person can be like me, then he'll say to him, follow me. So more than that, it would be a remarkable affirmation of the confidence the rabbi had in his disciple. It would be such an honor for a person to hear those words from a rabbi, because it would mean that this rabbi believes I can do what he does. This rabbi believes I can be like him. So when the disciple to hear those words, follow me, it would be a great honor to him that the rabbi has the confidence in him. Once the rabbi would say to him, come and follow me, this disciple would then follow the rabbi everywhere. He'd leave his job, he'd leave everything, and just start to follow this rabbi. Basically be in his shadow all the time, learn from him, listen to him, because when he becomes at the age of 30, he'll also become a rabbi and have his own disciples. And so there was a saying at the time that you would say to somebody, to a disciple, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi, because they would be following the rabbi everywhere. So anything that the rabbi walked in would cover the person behind him. So if in the dusty roads, as the rabbi would walk and the disciples behind him, the disciple would be covered in the dust of his rabbi. And so there was a saying that says, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. So if we, considering all of that, if we then really look at this call of St. Matthew. Matthew, as I said, was a tax collector. He was looked down upon by the Jews. He was looked as to be dishonest. He wasn't a disciple, which means he wasn't the best of the best. And then this rabbi comes, who is very well known, who all disciples would aspire to have a rabbi like Jesus. And this rabbi walks past and says, follow me. Matthew knew very well what it took to hear those words of follow me. And it meant that Jesus was saying to St. Matthew, come be with me. You can do what I do. You can be like me. I have the confidence in you. And when he said those words to Peter and Andrew, and to the person who wanted to bury his father, and to Philip, then those words would have been, wow, he believes I can be like him. And they leave everything and go. And so it makes a whole much more sense when we don't ask the question, what did they see in Christ, but rather, what did our Lord Jesus Christ see in them? Because what he saw in them moved them that they would follow him and leave everything in the instant. If you look at St. Peter, for example, when St. Peter was in the boat and our Lord Jesus Christ came to him walking on the water, and St. Peter jumps out of the boat and starts to walk on water, what was St. Peter thinking? What made him think that he can walk on water? Simply, he was a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. If his master, if his rabbi was walking on water, then I'm called to be like him. So I will jump out of the water and I can walk on water. And he did. And then when Peter started to sink, our Lord Jesus Christ said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And Peter didn't necessarily doubt the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Christ wasn't sinking. He was still on the water. But Peter doubted himself. Peter doubted that he could be like our Lord Jesus Christ. He doubted the power of God within him. So a disciple would follow his master in everything, even if it meant walking on water. They would do the same. They would follow him in everything. So what does all of this mean for us? You know, nowadays in Christianity, it's hardly practiced anymore. True Christianity is hardly practiced anymore. Nowadays it's become more like a bunch of nice sayings, it's nice to read about Christ and nice to read what he said and contemplate on them. But we don't really live them. What do you mean, love my enemies? What's that about? You know, do I actually take that seriously? What's it mean for me to do good to those who persecute me? Am I actually meant to do that? Who does that? Forgive somebody who does something really nasty to me. I'm not going to forgive them. You know what they did to me? And we completely take out of our mind the concept of actually applying Christianity as it is. The concept of actually following our Lord Jesus Christ in everything he does. And so if we were to think about this definition of a disciple, one that our Lord Christ says to him, follow me, saying to him, you can be like me, you can do what I do, you can be me. And with that confidence, they left everything to be like him. And that is the definition of a disciple. And so when we hear those words to us saying, follow me, do we hear the confidence from our Lord Jesus Christ in us that we can be like him, that we can do what he does, even if it means walking on water, even if it means something that sounds impossible, like loving your enemies? We are called to do what he did, to be like him, to sacrifice his life. With the events that are happening in Egypt, if you look at what's happening there, burning of churches and killing of Christians, how does the church respond to all of this? And you look at some of the comments of the bishops, like for example Pope Tewodros. He said, it doesn't matter about the burning of our churches as long as there's peace and love in the country. And Amber Morse says, well, it doesn't matter about all of this, my dear beloved Muslims, we love you and we forgive you for everything you've done to us. Amber Michael, a really old bishop, he said that all of these burning churches is like a giant sharia, a giant censer, and the smoke is going up to heaven as a sweet smelling aroma to our Lord Jesus Christ. Who speaks like that? You know, when you hear of people killing us and burning our churches, there's anger and there's the feeling of revenge. But those who are disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, those who have heard the call, follow me, those who have heard the call to be like him, to do what he does, to think like he does, will respond in that way. It doesn't matter. We love, we forgive, and we take that commandments very seriously. It's not just a matter of contemplation. It is application in our life. It is our honor to receive that call, follow me. It makes complete sense to leave everything to be a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday I was in the Gold Coast visiting the church there, and the priest in Gold Coast, Abuna Philopatir, was introducing me to the church. And he said, this is Abuna Mark, the disciple of Abuna Yaub. I was like, whoa, what an honor to be called the disciple of Abuna Yaub. And when he said that, there was some expectation or a hope that they would receive a portion of the wisdom and teaching of Abuna Yaub, because it was his disciple. Unfortunately, they were let down completely. But in any case, it was a complete honor to be called the disciple of someone as great as Abuna Yaub. And so it's the same with Peter, with Matthew, and with all those who heard the call, follow me, because they were going to become a disciple of somebody who was great. It is our honor to be a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our honor that he has the confidence in us that we can be like him, that we can do what he does, that we can be like him and live as he lived. Today we all are hearing the same words that St. Matthew heard 2,000 years ago in his tax office. We're hearing the same words that Peter heard when he was fishing. We're hearing the same words that man was doing when he wanted to bury his father. Those same words are, follow me. And no matter where we are in our life, whether we're working and fishing, whether we're doing something wrong, like reflecting, or whether we're down and burying somebody, it doesn't matter, because we're hearing the same words saying, follow me. And the response is up to us, that we leave all this behind and we look to our Lord Jesus Christ with an honor that he called me, with an honor that he thinks I can be like him, with the honor that he knows that I can do what he does with his grace. And so may we always be inspired to hear this call of follow me. May we believe that we can be like our Rabbi Jesus by his grace. And may we be covered in the dust of our Rabbi, our Lord Jesus Christ. And glory be to God forever. Amen.